Hi, welcome to Skip's Corner, where I cover Nashville's baseball history and events and introduce you to players, coaches, and other fans.
We are well into July, the year 2023, and boy, it has been hot. Summer was a little delayed in getting this hot, but we're experiencing some high 90-degree temperatures, and with that comes the possibility of thunderstorms. And I'll tell you, I'm hoping that we don't get some of these storms that have been coming across through the Southwest, because it's really, really been a damaging weather in certain parts of the country. And we had a pretty good storm here a couple of days ago. July 1 for us and our family is a special day, and I'll tell you why. It's a special day of celebration for me and our family. In 1928, our dad, Virgil Nipper, was born, and he taught my brother, Jim, and me so much about family and church and sports, but especially baseball. Now, he passed away in 2016, but each year we remember him, especially on Father's Day, of course, and Christmas and Easter and on his birthday. And this year, I was just curious to find out with whom he shared a birthday with. You may do that, too, with your family. I've gone back and looked at different things that happened when I was born or when my parents were born and my kids were born, just to see who they share a certain day of celebration with. With Dad, besides Princess Diana, actor Jamie Farr, you may remember him as Corporal Klinger in MASH, Dan Aykroyd of Saturday Night Live and Blues Brothers fame, and currently designated hitter for the San Diego Padres, Nelson Cruz, July 1 was also the birthday of a Charlie Daniels. No, not the one of The Devil Went Down to Georgia and country music fame, but one who played in the major leagues. Charlie Daniels, the baseball player, was a right-handed pitcher and outfielder in three games, yes, just three, and I'm sure you've never heard of him. He played for the Boston Reds in the Union Association in 1884. He was born on July 1, 1861, in Roxbury, Massachusetts, and he died in Boston on February the 9th, 1938. And not much else is known about him other than he played for Lawrence, Massachusetts in a local league. And I can't find out anything else about him. Another baseball player with a July 1 birth date is Cletus Elwood Boots Poffenberger. And unlike Charlie Daniels, the baseball player, he has a Nashville baseball connection. Arguably the most famous baseball team in the history of Nashville sports, the Nashville Volunteers of 1940 in the Southern Association, also known as the Vols, were voted the 47th best minor league team of all time in the 100th celebration of minor league baseball in 2002. Author Austin Gisrael celebrates its heroic bad boy pitcher in a book called Boots Poffenberger, Hurler, Hero, and Hellraiser. And it was published in 2014 by Summer Game Books. He finished the season in spectacular fashion, not Austin, but Boots Poffenberger, with a 26-9 record. Now, at the time, that was the most wins by any pitcher in the Southern Association since 1901. Now, with the huge advantage of sorting through scrapbooks kept by Boots' first wife, Jo, and made available by Poffenberger's grandson, Jeremy Node, Gisrael thoroughly examined the life of one of baseball's unruly children. And this journey of Poffenberger's life in baseball, even with his garish attitude, is a pleasurable one. Gisrael describes the overweight pitcher in easy fashion, allowing the reader a view into those well-kept scrapbooks. He thoroughly details Poffenberger's life from his hometown of Williamsport, Maryland, through sandlot ball, military service, and ultimately professional baseball and retirement. Now, here's the story about Boots. He was, what I said earlier, was unruly, and Austin does a great job of telling about that. And I'm going to key in on most of the Nashville baseball part of this, but if you ever get a chance to read this book, go get it. It's a good book. Having been declared ineligible after his antics perturbed both the Detroit Tigers and Brooklyn Dodgers management, Boots Poffenberger's three-season four-way into his major league career ends. Nashville manager, though, Larry Gilbert, takes a chance on the affable Poffenberger, purchasing him from the Dodgers in March of 1940 when no one else would have him. Austin writes, the Vols were skippered by Larry Gilbert, who had become part owner of the club after managing New Orleans for 15 seasons. There, Gilbert developed a reputation as an effective handler of eccentrics, flacks, and troublemakers. Now, Poffenberger's success culminates in Nashville. It was then and there that he found his best success with one of the best minor league teams of all time. And Austin writes, Boots Poffenberger, of course, led the league in wins with 26, becoming the first volunteer hurler to notch at least 25 in a season. Boots appeared in 37 games and, remarkably, received a decision in all but two of them. His .743 win percentage was first in the league. At an end-of-season banquet held at a local supper club for the 1940 club, Nashville Banner sports writer Fred Russell sings Boots' praises for what he had meant to the team. I mean it with the utmost sincerity when I say that Poffenberger's reputation is unfair to him, and as this season has proved, he has been the victim of major league operators and managers' own deficiencies in what should be a prime requisite of their job, handling men. Model boy? No. Bad actor? I have known 10 dozen ballplayers who were bigger problems than Poffenberger. Now, Russell's words were very wise, although I think maybe he overplayed it a little bit. He loved Larry Gilbert and how Larry Gilbert could handle players, and he was certainly right about describing him that way. But 7 months removed from the glowing tribute given by Russell, the wrapping comes off of the package. Already facing questions about his drinking habits and game preparation, on June the 25th, 1941, Poffenberger is suspended for 90 days by league president Trammell Scott after throwing at umpire Ed Dutch Hoffman in the fifth inning of the previous night's game. Boots was ordered off the field by the arbiter after his continual griping and use of abusive language, Hoffman said. But instead of leaving the field, Poffenberger turned and threw the ball at the umpire. It hit Hoffman in the chest protector, but not injuring him. And Larry Gilbert, the well-respected molder of disorderly baseball men, gives up on him and says, I'm through with him. Gilbert was quoted as saying in the Nashville papers the next day, he won't pitch for Nashville anymore. Well, his time in Nashville parallels every aspect of Poffenberger's baseball career. Boots Poffenberger, hurler, hero, hellraiser, is a quality description of this up-and-down life. This account, this book written by Austin Gisrael, finds tempo in Boots' visits to the major leagues and ends in some humility in his failings. Boots had become lost in baseball lore until Gisrael brought him out of his slide to obscurity. In this book, I recommend adding it to your Nashville Baseball and Southern History bookshelf. By the way, Country Music Hall of Fame member Charlie Daniels is buried only about 400 yards from our house in Mount Juliet Memorial Gardens. And when I walk our dog, Sully, we return home through the cemetery and see the beautiful marker there. So I've got to give tribute to Charlie Daniels, got to give tribute to Austin Gisrael, and certainly for Dad and all those who celebrate a July the 1st birthday.